18 verses of the book of John. Some look at the third chapter of John that deals with the new birth. I did most of the talking Sunday morning, and you didn't get an opportunity to put any input into it, and I'd like to go back tonight, give you an opportunity to make some statements, ask some questions, because in reality, the third chapter of the book of John and that section that deals with the new birth, brethren, that's the key to our evangelistic outreach. We've got to have a grasp on what John was talking about when he told Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. Now, the term new birth, or being born again, is something that you hear addressed quite often in the religious world. You hear people say, well, I've been born again. What do they mean when they say, I've been born again?
They've accepted Jesus as their Savior.
They've accepted Jesus as their Savior. Now, I'd like for us to try, if we could, to envision what Nicodemus must have been expecting when he was just bombarded with that question. What do you think he was thinking when Jesus looked at him straight in the face and said, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God?
What? I don't think he knew what to think. Yes. He knew he couldn't be enter his mother's womb again, so he really didn't know.
That's what
he
I was
didn't understand what he meant.
Okay. Yeah. In one respect, he probably didn't fully grasp what Jesus was talking about with the new birth. But on the other hand, they knew something about baptism. Because if a Gentile came to a Jew and they wanted to be a proselyte Jew and worship under the Jewish religion, do you know what the Jews required of them? To be baptized in water. So the term baptism meant something to them. And again, who was Nicodemus? What was his background? He was a Pharisee. What did that mean?
Something religious scholar.
All right. Not only was he a Pharisee, but that was the predominant religion among the Jews at that time. He was on the Sanhedrin. He was a teacher of the law. For him to have to teach the law, what did he have to know?
He had to know the law.
He had to know the law. Have you noticed this is the second trip that you and I have gone together through the Old Testament? Now, Billy, you weren't here when we started in Genesis, have you?
This last time I was.
Yes.
Yes,
the
sir.
Last time you was. David, what about you?
No.
David comes from a Baptist background. Billy came from a Pentecostal background. It's important to really understand what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit and baptism to be able to really wrap your mind around salvation and what brings about salvation.
Where does it talk about? I've never read where the Jews were baptized. Now, I know when they crossed the sea, that was a form of baptism when they crossed, you know, between the divided waters.
You don't see much in Hebrew writing about baptizing. You read a lot about the sprinkling with water, and you read a lot about ceremonial washings, but it's not uncommon to see where when a Gentile came to them to adapt their Jewish religion, that they were baptized in water to allow them the privilege. Now, they could not worship in the same location, but they could adopt the Jewish religion as their religion, as a Gentile. It was going on more during this dispensation of time than ever before.
Is it mentioned in the Bible anywhere? I've never liked the trouble.
Other than the ceremonial washings.
Oh, I've never
it's
seen
not.
That.
But let's go back to the book of Ezekiel for just a second. And turn back with me, if you will, to the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Now notice, if you will, in the book of Ezekiel, where were the children of Israel at this point? As Ezekiel was writing his book, where were the people? They were in Babylonian captivity. And notice, if you will, in the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 36, some time had gone by, and the first 7 verses of that chapter deals with their enemies. They're going to be punished. And then you pick up in verse 8 and you go all the way through verse 15. And Ezekiel is talking about how that God is going to bless their land. Now they've been in captivity 70 years, but their land is going to be blessed. Then notice, if you will, you pick up in verse 24, and you go through verses 38, and look, if you will, what takes place. It says, verse 24, I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you unto your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and to do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I'll give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, does this sound like anything that Ezekiel could probably rationally think within his mind? Here's Jesus, the Messiah, telling him, now you've got to be born again. And he should have been thinking in his mind, well, now old prophet Ezekiel said that there was going to be something in the future that was going to be different than what we had expected in the past. That we were going to be sprinkled with clean water to wash away the filthiness of the flesh. And we would receive a new heart and a new spirit. Remember, if you will, Jeremiah made the statement back in Jeremiah 31:31 when he was telling them about this new covenant. Well, now let's go back to John chapter 3. And here's Jesus talking about that new covenant. And he's telling Nicodemus how to be a part of and how to be added into that kingdom, into that new covenant. Now, let's raise a question. If Nicodemus had understood what the Lord was talking about and said, yes, Lord, I'm ready to be born again, could he have been baptized and been born again at this point?
Well, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. He wouldn't be baptized into Christ.
Did what, Charles?
Jesus had not been crucified yet at that point.
Jesus was still alive. So no, he could not have been baptized in the new birth that Jesus was talking about. Remember, if you will, we went through beginning in Genesis, and we were headed to the cross. We're still heading to the cross in John chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So if Nicodemus wanted to have been baptized, what could he have been baptized for or by who?
John.
John's baptism. Absolutely. John's baptism. So notice, if you will, Jesus was laying the groundwork for not only Nicodemus to know, but all the people in the future to know that there can be a drastic change in their lives, spiritually speaking. Now, take into consideration, if you will, what must have been going on in Nicodemus's mind. Remember, as we said a little earlier, his concept of being born into God's family was through a physical birth. A Jewish dad and a Jewish mom brought a Jewish family into the world, and those Jewish children were considered to be among the family of God because of their fleshly birth. Now, here's what happened as the years went by. You see, they lost sight of people like Abraham and their faith looking toward the cross, because they knew that they could not keep the law, nor could they keep the patriarchal system. They could not save themselves. So they needed something. And back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we learned he was coming. He's come
He's left heaven. He's taken upon himself the form of a servant. He's human. He's telling Nicodemus and others, if you're going to be a part of my spiritual kingdom, you've got to be born again. And if you're going to be born again, it's going to be required of you two elements. You've got to be baptized in water. Now, what he's talking about is the baptism that he told his disciples about in Matthew 28. Remember what he said? All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe my commandments.
You know, in verse 10, Jesus admonishes him because he said, now you're a teacher of the Israel,
yeah.
And you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Nicodemus familiar with John's teachings at that point? Do we know?
I feel like he was, yeah. Because it was too much word going around. There was too many people being baptized. And remember, the Pharisees went out to meet him and was questioning, who are you? And so I feel like that he knew that John's baptism was going on and that people were submitting to it. So it's really important when you're trying to interpret the scriptures to know where you are. That's the reason we tried to kind of keep ourselves chronologically as close as we can as we went through the Old Testament. And then once we kind of familiarize our minds in the Old Testament, see how it unfolds, and then we can kind of see how it just falls into place. There's a distinction between John's baptism and the Great Commission baptism that Jesus told his disciples to practice. When was the first time that baptism was administered?
It was Acts 2:38.
Acts chapter 2. When Peter stood up on Pentecost and those 3,000 souls went down in that watery grave. Now, there's another thing that we made mention of. Don't know that I can really explain it. Quite often, I'll see David come in and I'll think, uh-oh, what's he going to ask us about? He'll say, I got a question. The section here where it says the wind, and it's from a Greek word called pneuma. And we made the statement that the word pneuma for spirit is used over close to 300 times in the New Testament and in the Old. And this is the only place other than Hebrews 1 and at verse 7 where the word pneuma is translated wind. For example, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's look at down to about verse 25. I'm going to begin with verse 24, Matthew 7, and at verse 24. And you'll identify quickly when you get there. It's about the wise and foolish builders. Therefore, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the what? Winds blew. Now notice you go on a little bit further. And beat upon the house, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Now this is an entirely different Greek word that's found here in John chapter 3. And verse 8, where it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." There, if you wanted to translate this word wind, there is a Greek word that leaves no doubt it's talking about the wind. Why they translated the word wind, pneuma, without using that Greek word, I don't know. And not only that, but let's read. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now, remember, if you will, we looked on Sunday morning, and we talked about how the word was used in all other places, and we looked at 1 Timothy 4:1, where it says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." Remember, if you will, what if you just plugged in wind there? Wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. The only thing I can see here is that Jesus is trying to show Nicodemus what's going to take place in the lives of someone that's been born again. Remember what Ezekiel said? "Your sins are going to be washed away, and I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit." Have you ever seen someone become a New Testament Christian that was just a rough, tough, horrible person? And he comes up out of that water, a new creation, and he goes back into the community where he's known, and people don't know him anymore. They're thinking, what has happened to this one? What's happened to this person? What makes him so different? He's not drinking anymore. He's not cursing anymore. He's not fighting anymore. He's a different person.
You hear comments like, "Boy, he or she could change. Anybody could change." You know,
that's right.
Because of the lifestyle.
That is exactly right. So I think that what Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to see is that, you know, you have really been paying a lot of attention to your own trust and your own confidence in your fleshly birth and your relationship to Abraham and being in his family. But it's coming to an end. You don't need to be trusting in your faith, in yourself, in your Jewish religion. You need to be thinking about being born again. And you need to remember what old Ezekiel said way, way back there when y'all were still in captivity. And if you'll remember in the 37th chapter, everybody knows about that. Valley of dry bones. All these bones scattered everywhere. And old Ezekiel is watching and these bones start going back in place and to the right skeleton. And the sinews go on. So Ezekiel is trying to tell the people, look, you're going back home. You're going to get out of bondage. And you're going to have an opportunity to go through a process, spiritually speaking. You're going to have a spiritual rebirth that will change your life and allow you to be added to the family of God. Any questions or comments? Over the new birth of Nicodemus offered by Jesus.
Was Jesus telling Nicodemus something that he actually couldn't do at that time?
Yes, he was telling him something that he could not do if he wanted to. He could be baptized by John's baptism and receive remission of sins. But he could not be baptized but because Jesus was still alive. He had not been glorified, has not been resurrected and back in heaven. So no, he could not. Have you ever really, we said something about,
so those that died in John's baptism were forgiven of their sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they lived until Christ's baptism, or until Christ died and was raised, then they have to be rebaptized.
That's what I've always
The heard. Only example of somebody being rebaptized was a group that we read about in Acts that was baptized by John's baptism and knew nothing about Jesus' Matthew 28 baptism.
Thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was possibly baptized by John.
Very well could have been because, you know, he said, today, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Something went on there, didn't it? But Jesus would say, you're going to be with me in just a little bit here. And,
I thought that was because Jesus told him he would. Because he told Jesus he deserved what he was getting, but yeah. Jesus didn't.
He had the power to give.
Yeah, there was.
I think when supposing things to say he was bad.
That there's nothing. You would be hard pressed to prove either way. It would be hard. You'd be hard pressed to say he was not baptized by John or some of John's disciples. On the other hand, it would be, he knew something about Jesus. And he knew he was, who he was. And he knew who Jesus was. All you can say is, inference leads either direction. Any other question or comment? All right, now let's think about one other thing. Have you thought about when the book of John was written? Remember now, John wrote the book of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the Revelation.
I think we talked about it was written pretty late, possibly.
Yeah. 85 A.D. to 90 A.D. from the city of Ephesus. Now, do you think that those people who read this letter at that time had a much clearer understanding than did Nicodemus at the time Jesus spoke to him? Why, sure. I mean, they had heard. Some had seen, had been with the master teacher. You're looking through a group of Christians that had been persecuted by the Jews, persecuted by the Romans. They had gone through a lot. Their faith was being pushed because of persecution. So they could see some things that Nicodemus possibly couldn't see at the time Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Just like us today. Think what it would be like to go through most of the first century without a New Testament to read. We got it. You see why they were so dependent upon the Holy Spirit speaking to the apostles and the apostles writing these epistles? You see where God the Father has a lot to do with our redemption. God the Son has a lot to do with our redemption. God the Holy Spirit has much to do with our redemption. We could easily say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit dwells within us. How do they do that? They do it because we read the text. And we trust that there was a God in heaven. We trust that His Son pitched among us, dwelt among us, died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit inspired this book we call the Bible.
Yep, amen.
So you can see when he says we're born again. We're born again of the water and the Spirit. I'd kind of like to close out. Any questions? Because I'd kind of like to close out with maybe dealing with some issues that maybe people could be listening by way of Facebook that may not be New Testament Christian. We could raise the question, how is one today born of the water and the Spirit? How are they born again? For a birth to take place, you've got to have two things. You've got to have the seed, and you've got to have the delivery when the birth is ready to take place. Remember, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 11, we learn from that particular parable that if we're going to undergo a spiritual rebirth, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Remember in that parable, it's talking about the parable of the sower and the different types of soil. So the seed is the Word of God. Notice, if you will, over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Here's what Peter said later in his life. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So notice, if you will, you've got to have the seed, and the seed comes from the word of God. And the begetting process takes place by faith. Turn with me over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Remember, we said faith is active. So the word of God is a seed. What does a seed produce? It produces someone that by faith is obedient to the gospel. Now turn with me, if you will. It's time for the delivery. We said it took two things, the seed and the time for delivering that new birth. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 3. Romans 6 and at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin any longer. I don't know whether you've ever heard it or not, but I've been told. Oh, you folks, you believe in water baptism. You believe in water salvation. You believe in water salvation. No. We're not saved by water salvation. We're saved by the blood of Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. And look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1 and at verse 7. Ephesians 1 and at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now let's close out with the book of Titus. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm going to back up to verse 4. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. We said it takes two things. The seed is the Word of God. We've got it, the Bible. And when time comes for that new birth, spiritual birth, it's time for your cleansing, baptism. Just as Paul said to the Romans, you're going to go down into that watery grave and you're going to die. Just like your Lord died on that cross, and you're going to be buried just like your Lord was buried in that borrowed tomb, but you're coming out a new creation. Because your seed, your faith is active. You're willing by an obedient faith to do what He said. Is that water salvation? Is that? No. We know that when we come in contact with the water, we come in contact with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And we have our sins remitted. Why? Because He left heaven, came in here among us, lived among us, died among us. He's back in heaven. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How can you reject baptism when your Lord and Savior said He had believed it and is baptized should be saved? How could you just go from Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and never partake of the Lord's Supper, something He asked you to do? And we could just go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about things. Oh, yes, I believe in my Lord. He's my Savior. Well, if He's your Savior and you believe in Him, why don't you do what the Bible says you need to do? Just become a New Testament Christian.
Amen.
Just die to sin. Be buried with your Lord and come out of new creation. That's what John was telling, that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus when He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You've got to have a spiritual rebirth. Your redemption is not lying any longer in your fleshly blood birth, being in Abraham as your father. Got to be born again. Same today, folks. You got to be born again. You got to do it like the Word of God says to do it. If you're in the audience, need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity as David leads us in this time?